You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Connie writes it. I do.
Just like that, Lady Greta told me, down by the coal creek, it don't matter if your poles are dusty, beer in the tackle box, out on the flat rock, baiting that hook with only the right look, lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide, Papa's going out of sight, even if it takes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner, cause I kinda like them bitter, and I don't mind.
Good morning, fishing fans. This is Captain Debbie Hansen welcoming you to another edition of Real Talk Radio on 98.1 FM in Southwest Florida. You can also listen to us live from anywhere this morning at ESPNSWFL.com or by downloading the ESPN Southwest Florida app. It is producer Rick Turch and I here in the studio along with my guest co-host all the way from Alabama, professional crappie angler, publisher of Crappie Now magazine, Mr. Dan Dannenmuehler. Dan, welcome to the show and welcome to Southwest Florida.
Good morning, Debbie, and good morning, Florida. I'm glad to be down here. I love your specs in Florida.
Yeah, I think you brought some crappie weather down with you is what I think.
I'm afraid I drug it down here and it's going to be following me.
Well, we are honored to have you here in the studio because for folks who don't know Dan, not only is Dan the publisher of two digital magazines, Crappie Now and Catfish Now, he was also named Angler of the Year in 2010 and 2011 by Crappie Masters Magazine. And he routinely travels across the country, attends seminars to share tips and just spread the love of crappie fishing.
Is there any other kind of fishing? Oh, yeah, there is other kinds of fishing.
Yeah.
I know.
Especially in this part of Florida.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard. There's some great saltwater fishing. I got to try down here one of these days.
You do?
So, yeah. I've got to come down, try that.
I know you're not, you don't have much time here in Southwest Florida. You're only going to be here for, well, you're actually leaving this afternoon, right?
Yeah.
And you're heading up to the St. Johns River because you're getting ready for, what is it, next Friday, you said? You're going to be fishing a crappie tournament through the Crappie Masters on the St. Johns River, correct?
Right. We'll be pre-fishing all this week, and then we fish Friday and Saturday for the first qualifier for the 2022 season. And we love the St. Johns River. It is an awesome fishery for crappie. I understand it's got other species in there. We catch them now and then when we're here. but, oh, man, you've got some of the best specs in the country here. And right now they're pre-spawned, so they're really heavy. Beautiful, beautiful gold and black fish down here. Florida, you've got it. Southwest Florida, you've got it. You got all the fishing here. Everything that Sue and I love to do is down here fishing-wise.
So, yeah, and not many people really. I think crappie is probably one of those species that, given all the saltwater fishing we have in this area, doesn't get a whole lot of attention. Some folks go east of here to Lake Trafford and they fish for crappie, and you know, that's a great crappie fishery. But I know, like, Lake Talquin up in the northern part of the state, and even Lake Okeechobee, there's some great speck fishing too. So
Talquin is a hidden gem.
Yeah,
that thing is loaded with stumps, just thousands of stumps, and those crappie in Florida stay shallow. I mean, that's all they have is shallow water. The deepest water I think I have found in the river has been 20 to 30 feet.
Yeah.
Those are the deepest holes. And the rest of it, the backwaters and the back lakes and everything else, a lot of those fish never leave those.
Yeah, and when you say the river, you mean the St. Johns River, correct?
The St. Johns River, yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the rest of it, what's so great about that fishery is you've got backwaters that or no deeper, and a lot of those lakes are 8 feet deep and less.
Mm-hmm.
But they're great with a lot of food, a lot of forage, a lot of fish. And the crappie are just, they multiply and do well, and they grow fast because they get to grow all year long.
Yeah, so, I cannot wait to dive into all this stuff with you, Dan, because I know we're going to talk a little bit about rigging your boat for crappie fishing. We're going to get into some how-tos for beginners who are looking to get out there on the water, how they can get started. And we'll get into some rigging tips and techniques. We'll talk a little bit about Crappie Now magazine. So looking forward to all of that. We are coming to you live this morning from Stan and Amy Boulevard in beautiful downtown Estero. We'll be live on air this morning until 10 a.m. If you're not able to listen to the entire show or you want to go back and catch up on previous shows, you can just head on over to the ESPN Real Talk podcast page, and that's at ESPNSWFL.com. The text line is open this morning. Go ahead and shoot us a text. Let us know what you've been out there catching this past week. If you've got any questions on crappie fishing, text us 239-337-3776. And before I jump into the weather and tides, I'm actually going to grab Mr. Nick Davis, who is standing by from 239 Flies on line one. So let's see what Nick has to say. Check in with him. Hey there, Nick. Good morning.
Captain Debbie, Dano, how are we?
We are doing fantastic. And how are you? How are things at 239 Flies?
They are freezing. This is this Arctic blast and this frozen tundra of Bonita Beach that we live in is ridiculous. And I would like to speak to a manager about it.
Yeah, it was a brisk 55 degrees when I jumped into the truck this morning to drive to the studio.
We need a solid 20 more degrees for fishing to really come around. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the crappie fishing is like when the pressure gets high and the temperature gets low, but I got to tell you, the snook and the redfish and the tarpon sure hate it.
Well, cooler temps are perfect for crappie fishing, so that's why Dan's here. And that's what I was just saying to him. He brought the cooler weather with him.
Yeah.
We timed it perfectly. We planned
almost
it right.
Put some thought into that. My gosh.
Sorry about that, Scott. I tell you, I didn't want to bring that.
That's fantastic. But, yeah, no, things are very well at the shop. It was a pretty slow week on the fishing front. Like I just kind of alluded to, it's funny how we, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this last night. You know, we look for those, you know, cloudless days in the summertime when, you know, these giant patches of blue sky so that we can sight fish. And then when we get them in the wintertime and we get these, you know, these bluebird days where there's not a cloud in the sky all day, it's like, we might as well not even go fishing. Like, the barometric pressure is so high, and these fish are so annoyed, it's almost like, well, you know what? It's a great day to hang by the bar or hang by the pool because there's not much going on the fishing front this week.
Yeah, well, unless maybe you can get out the middle of the week for sheep's head or sea trout. Those are probably your two best options.
Yep.
Yeah.
We took the canoe to Clam Pass yesterday to just to kind of get the boat just to wet a line and see what we can muster up, and it's crazy. There's just not a lot of life, you know. It seems like in the water this week, but that's just a product of the weather. So,
well, and it's the perfect opportunity for people to stop in, get some tying materials, and start beefing up their fly stash, right?
That's exactly right. It's a great week to tie flies, tarpon flies, because that time will be upon us very shortly.
Yes. So, yeah. So what else is going on at the shop, Nick? What's the scoop? What's the word?
Well, we've got a fly tying night on the 26th, on Wednesday. Bring your vise, bring your tools, bring your thread, bring a can-do attitude. That's always a good time, our first fly tying night of the year. We've got a lot of new spring 22 stuff coming in. The brand new Sim stuff is, most of it is in. We've got some new stuff from Free Fly and some new stuff from Patagonia as well, and Howler Brothers too. So some new stuff in the shop. This week I want to say we had a big shipment of Nautilus reels come in, which was if you've been looking for a Nautilus or a T-Bore reel for the last year, you know that they are almost as rare as gold. Just bar stock aluminum is a little tougher to come by than probably gold or silver is at the moment. So custom reels have been tough to get a hold of, but we got a bunch of them in this week. So yeah, we're pretty well stocked up.
That's good news. Good. So when
pretty
you
well stocked up.
So when you went out this past week, you didn't get a chance to get out and do a whole lot of fishing yourself.
No, well, we took the canoe yesterday, and I got to tell you, a real game changer. I know you, Captain Debbie, I know you're a woman who fancies a canoe and a floatable, you know, self-powered watercraft. Let me tell you something. We got a couple of the Yeti lawn chairs, the real beefy trailhead chairs, and mounted them in the canoe for just ease of use and comfortability. Let me tell you, that's a real game changer when it comes to putting the canoe in the water. If you've got a canoe or a kayak and you're tired of sitting on the, you know, like the wooden slats, or you know your seat's worn out, or like one of these chairs in there, game changer, like absolutely phenomenal. So that was more of a trip to, I'll say, a comfort trip than it was anything else, just a little cruise. But
it was more like today. A chill eco tour.
That's exactly right. It was more of a chill eco tour.
Nice.
That's exactly right.
All right, got it.
But yeah, not too much fishing. We made a few casts, but just not even a lot of mullet swimming around. So we're like, yeah, we'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah, and no scoop from the guys in the shop on how they did before this front came through.
A little bit of red fishing going on. I know Sharon and EJ caught a couple beginning of the week. Pat and Nick have been, or Pat's been out of town, but before this front, there was some good baby tarpon fishing going on. But I think this front definitely put a kibosh on that. So, yeah, it's one of those times during the year where you want to get that fly box stocked up and wait for the water temps and the air temps to, you know, climb another 5 or 6 degrees. So I think that'll probably happen later on this week, and the fishing should come back. But if you went out last week and you didn't catch much, I assure you it was not for lack of trying or lack of effort. It was just one of those weeks.
Yes, yes, it was.
So, in salt water. I'll speak for salt water.
Which is why it is perfect to be talking about crappie fishing today. So this next week coming up will be the perfect time to get out there and do it.
Until further
come on, Nick, crappie on fly.
That's right. Let's do it.
I want to see you posting some pictures.
We can do it.
All right. Well,
top water.
Well, thank you so much for the update from the world of 239 Flies. We certainly appreciate it. And you guys are going to be open today until what time?
We'll be open 10 to 4 today. Come on by and
10 to 4. All right.
Yep.
Beach Road Plaza in Bonita Springs. And Nick, thanks so much for the update. We will catch up with you next Saturday morning.
Same time, same place. I'll be here.
You got it. Take care. Have a great weekend, Nick.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Bye. Bye-bye. That is Nick Davis with 239 Flies calling in. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, Dan, I mean, like I said, I think we pretty much timed this show perfectly, because here I'm looking at the weather report, which I'm going to read off. And for today, we've got Saturday, sunny, high near 76. We've got south-southeast winds, 10 to 15 miles an hour. And then for tonight, mostly clear skies, a low around 63, breezy, south-southeast winds 10 to 20. And then tomorrow, windy and rainy, thunderstorms possible with strong gusty winds, high near 74, west-southwest winds 25 to 35 miles an hour, and a 90% chance of rain. And then
good sailing.
Right. Yeah. And then for tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a low around 59, breezy, west-northwest winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. So we've got a gale warning that is in effect Sunday, starting at 1 a.m. Eastern. And then right now we're under a small craft advisory. Or actually, the small craft advisory starts at 7 p.m. this evening. And that will definitely be in effect tomorrow. So like I said, sheep's head, trout, and crappie fishing this next week after this front comes through. That's going to be the best bet. And good luck finding some clean water. You're going to have to look a little harder.
Yeah.
As far as the tides go for today, and as always, remember the tides I read off on air are for Estero Bay, Big Carlos. Your best opportunity to get out there is going to be this morning between about 8:30 and noon, fishing that incoming. Low tide was this morning at 5:50 a.m. That was just shy of a foot below mean low, or a half a foot below mean low tide. It was negative 0.7. And then high tide is going to be 2:48 this afternoon, and that's 1.4. And then low tide, 3:29 this afternoon, and that's 1.4. And then high tide this evening is 10:23 p.m., and that's 2.4. So just over 2 feet there. And then for tomorrow, pretty similar situation, although I'm pretty convinced no one is going to be out there on the water fishing. Tomorrow, your best opportunity will be to get out there sometime around 9 to 12:30 a.m. if you're maybe braving it from shore, or 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on that incoming. Just going to be super windy and rainy. So that's the weather. That's the tides. Red tide report. In Southwest Florida over the past week, Carina Brevis observed at background concentrations in Manatee County, none here in Lee or Collier. That's good news. No respiratory irritation and no report of fish kills. So that is all good stuff. And we've got a couple of minutes. So before we head off to our first break, just a few reminders. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ESPN Real Talk Radio, if you want advance notice of who we'll have coming up as guests on the show. And of course, if you happen to miss a show, you can just head on over and listen to the podcast after the fact at ESPNSWFL.com. You can find me on Instagram at SheFishes2, and that's the number 2. I'm at SheFishes2.com. And Dan, where can folks find you? I know you've got a really strong social media presence, so where can folks find you on social media if they want to learn more about Crappie Fishing and Crappie Now magazine?
Several places. I've got a couple of places. Crappie Dan, also Crappie Mates, which is Sue and I, and Dan Dennemuller Sr., if you can get in. I've got a waiting list of people on my personal social media site. We do it in all levels. We do it YouTube. I've got 700 and something videos that we are just putting into playlists on crappie and catfish.
That's fantastic.
Both. And
wow.
We're finishing the thumbnails and descriptions.
Uh-huh.
We're all done with crappie. We're almost still have about 3/4 of the way through the catfish to do. But YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and then you can go to DD Outdoor website, which is, I've got a store I'm being stood up right now on DD Outdoor. I have some things up there already. We're doing a total redo on that website. Of course, the owner always gets the last, so I have to wait till I'm done with other clients before I get to put my stuff up. So I've got that going up with a brand new site on DD Outdoor very shortly. Probably by March, I think we're going to finish up, and we're going to have my selected things that are going to be for sale up there that you can get. And I talk to regularly, and that goes from boat rigging to fish habitat, which I'm big on fish habitat. And so, but you can catch us on all those places, and also Crappie Now. A lot of my stuff goes up on Crappie Now, but
which is just crappienow.com, correct?
Just crappienow.com and catfishnow.com. So
perfect. All right.
Check us out.
Definitely. We're going to head off to the first break of the morning. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Got up at dawn just to be out on the water. Weatherman said hot and getting hotter, but he didn't say nothing about it. Raining like hell. Always a bad day of fishing beats a good day of anything else.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host all the way from Alabama, professional crappie angler, publisher of Crappie Now, Mr. Dan Dannemuehler. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Captain. Nice to see you.
Hey, pleasure to have you here. And you haven't had a chance to dig into that breakfast sandwich yet, have you?
No, but I'm going to. It looks very inviting
over
there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, always good to have that nice, warm breakfast waiting for you. Cup of coffee, especially on a morning like this morning.
No doubt about it. I'll tell you, especially with your weather you got coming up here in the next
day or so.
I mean, and the cold weather, and I'm down in Florida. I'm away from where we have the possibility of snow flurries in Montgomery, Alabama.
Yeah, how often does that happen?
Not very often.
Yeah.
I mean, just infrequently, and we've already had one last week that you got the cold front here. We had snow flurries in the morning, and of course nothing stuck, but we had snow flurries and our fish went bonkers. They went down, and it's been negative, you know, kind of like what you've got here.
Yeah.
And snow, I'm allergic to snow.
Me too. That's why I moved away from the Midwest 20 some odd years ago. But I can't wait to get into that, to talk a little bit about how these fish behave when these fronts come through and we have those high pressure conditions, those clear bluebird skies. We'll definitely get into that. I want to start off by talking a little bit about how you got into fishing. But before we do that, we've got Captain Barry Kuda standing by on line one. So I'm going to grab his call. Hey, Barry, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Saturday.
How's things? What's new in the world of Captain Barry Kuda?
Oh, man, everything's good. But for Christmas, good. I got a really cool decal for my boat that we're going to put on this weekend. The Dream Catcher. Ha, ha, ha.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, fishing's been good. Been catching some nice fish. Caught a barracuda a couple days ago. That was cool. They are so fast. So the clients were thrilled. We caught a bunch of different species, which has been the norm lately. My record recently was we caught 13 species in one day. My overall record for Estero Bay is 18 species in one day.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's definitely a lot. So give us the scoop on the sea trout and the sheep's head. I'm sure you've been focusing on those two species quite a bit as a.
Well, they're just when you fish the good spots, you catch a little bit of everything. Oddly enough, though, I have not caught a sea trout. We caught some nice reds, nice snook the other day, and I thought, well, let's see if I can put my clients on a backwater slam. We couldn't find a trout. Went to a couple of trout spots. And there's fish around, caught a whiting. I've caught whiting a few times, which is more of a beach fish and an offshore type of fish. But didn't get into any trout. I don't know. It's funny. They're everywhere for a while, and then they're nowhere for a while, then they're everywhere for a while. They're typical saltwater fish. Very unpredictable. It's always a moving target.
Yes. Well, being that they are a member of the drum family, they do. That's one of the species that definitely, you know, still bites and is still fairly active during our cooler water temperatures. So I know during the winter months, they can be a guide's best friend when you've got charters. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The cold water seems to make them happier rather than slow them down.
Yep. Definitely. Yeah. So, good to hear that you've been busy and you've been out there on the water doing a bunch of catching. So.
Yeah, you know, they say that's why they call it fishing, not catching. And I say, okay, if that's the way it is, the heck with this fishing. I want to be a catcherman.
So you still
talking to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so you still take in mostly a lot of families out and kids, Barry? Or?
Yeah, it's nice. People are hiring me to take their kids fishing. Well, I mean, they bring kids on the trips. And I love it. The kids have such a good time.
That's the best.
The tower is really popular with the kids. One kid a week or two ago, 4 years old, didn't want to really go up the tower. And I've got room for one person up there. So I tell people, if you want, when we're running, one person can keep me company up in the tower. And some people are afraid to go up there because they know they're going to tip the boat over. And I tell them, this is a tank. You couldn't tip it over if you tried. But, you know, some people like it up there and some don't. But the kids, this guy, he was such a cool kid. He didn't really want to go up there, but his dad said, oh, come on, try it. And he said, okay. So his dad's helping him, and I'm up there, and I grab his hand and help him up. The rest of the day, he was like a little monkey, up and down, up and down. He had to be up in the tower. He would catch a fish, and then he would go up in the tower and watch us. And then he'd go down, catch a fish, and then he'd be back up in the tower. He loved it up there.
Yeah, sometimes it's just the overall experience that the kids really get into. It's playing in the bait well and just investigating every nook and cranny on the boat. It's the whole overall experience for kids.
It's very magical, and it brings back my memories because we were always a fishing family, and our thing was we would fish, you know, especially me, I would fish with my dad, and it was really the bonding experience for us. And one of my favorite trips, a fellow I know, he's hired me several times now to take his father and his son. So I had three generations of the family on the boat, and one of my fondest memories is the first time we went out. Fishing had been terrible for weeks. It was just hard to find any fish at all. And I pre-fished the day before, caught two fish. I pre-fished that morning before picking them up, caught two fish. I take them out, and I'm going, oh, man, this is tough. And all the other guys are saying, oh, man, it's really tough. And we hit my first spot, and there's nothing, not even a catfish. Hit my second spot, nothing. I said, oh, man, well, we just keep trying. The third spot, we got into trout. 3 hours later, they're tired. Captain Barry, this is so much fun, but can we go in early? We're tired. And I thought, oh, that was really cool. And they're very competitive in a friendly way. They both were just trying to outfish each other. And the dad and the granddad were so pleased that the grandson outfished them both. But the granddad caught a 4-foot bonnet head, and they just had a blast all day. And when it's family fun like that, it's thrilling to be a part of it, to share in that sharing with the younger generation, the magic that is to be out in nature. And, you know, we've been seeing manatees, which theoretically are all gone this time of year, but we've been seeing them and lots of dolphins, and then the occasional eagle, and the ospreys are everywhere, and you can watch them building their nests. It's so cool to be out there and to share it with people that are also passionate about it.
That is for sure. All about making those memories, and those are experiences those kids will remember for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and I take lots of pictures. I always tell the clients, after our trip, I'll text you the pictures. I'll crop them because we don't need to see 6 feet of blue sky in every picture. But, you know, I make them the star of the picture. And I text them all the pictures afterwards, and they love that.
Yeah. That's great. That's awesome, Barry. Well, thank you so much for calling in and giving us the update.
Yeah.
We certainly appreciate that. You have a great rest of the weekend, and we're going to jump back into our crappie conversation here.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear.
Yeah. Well, we'll catch up with you next Saturday, Barry. Take care. Have a great rest
you
of the
too.
Week. Okay.
Love nice meeting you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Barry. That is Captain Barry Kuda calling in. So, Dan, all right, let's start from the beginning. So, obviously, your professional crappie angler, your entire life is just focused on fishing, being that you are the publisher of two magazines. How did this passion get started? How old were you when you started fishing? Who was the first person to get you out on the water? Give me the scoop.
Well, I was a bank fisherman. All we didn't have any boats, not in the beginning. That came later. But yes, started out with my dad and my grandparents, especially my grandmother. And I've written on this in some of my editorials about the beginnings, both on the catfish side and the crappie side. And we caught anything that swam. And cane poles, fishing back ditches, fishing sloughs, fishing swamps. Some lakes, not as much, but caught everything. And my grandmother ate everything that swam, just about. So we were always cleaning fish when we came back from wherever we fished. But that's how I got started as a boy. And my grandmother.
This was up in Missouri?
It was in Missouri, the Boot Hill of Missouri. And we just fished the backwater and caught bowfin and catfish and some crappie, some bass, not as many bass, and all kinds of catfish. I mean, bullheads to channel cats to you name it, and just had a blast. I looked forward to it and spent weeks at a time in the summertime when school was out and stayed with the grandmother, and there was always two or three days out of the week that we went fishing. So that's all she did. Cane poles tied to the side of the car. Off we went to the water, and I look forward to it and couldn't give it up for the rest of the life.
And I love the fact that it was your grandmother that got you out there.
Yeah, and that's awesome. A mini story. My dad's brother passed away on a ship in the Navy right after the Korean conflict, actually, between World War II and Korea. And out of that, lost his life. And it devastated my grandmother. And my dad was in the Navy. They couldn't let him go into war zone because of being the sole son left and all that kind of stuff. So we became, I didn't know this till she was passed, that we were her salvation. That fishing is what made her live. And through us, that became her passion and the way ahead in life. And I'm so honored to have been part of that, but now I'm stuck on it.
All those experiences were keeping her going.
Yeah.
So she started fishing with, how did your grandmother get into fishing initially?
I have no idea. I don't know. I heard that she did not fish as much up until we reached the age, but she was fishing when we started fishing with mm-hmm. her already. She had been fishing. So Grandpa and her did that as a way to help with her blue days from the loss of her child. And so then we became then life through her to have us along. And my brother and I were the two. My sister and my younger brother never got that. But we were the two that went everywhere with her fishing-wise. So that was an awesome thing. And so she got into it, I think, as a remedy to the
healing
loss.
Experience.
Yes, it was.
It's amazing how the outdoors can be so healing and just has that effect on people and really helps them get through some of the toughest times in their lives. I mean, that's kind of been a theme on this show. We've had quite a few people come in and talk about how they've gotten through some of the most challenging times in their lives just as a result of fishing and being in the outdoors.
I want to tell you, I don't guide like you do, my hat's off to you guys that do that. I take a lot of riders out, mm-hmm. and so mine is more in that vein, but I've had children out, and I've had my own grandchildren, and we can talk more of this later, but I have my own lake now that I finally wanted. It's more of a two-acre pond, but that thing's full of fish right now. I've had it for 2 years. And so we can talk that, and it's important to be able to get the kids out there to experience what we experienced and see the joy, that first fish. It doesn't matter on size, and it doesn't matter on numbers. It matters on the quality of time where you as a parent or a grandparent or whatever it is to take a child out.
Amen.
I mean,
absolutely.
You see the joy brought out of them, especially during our hard times right now. It's a great time to take that stress off and go out there, and you can just relieve yourself because you're in the outdoors.
Could not agree more. All right. On that note, we're going to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Way out north where the cold wind blows. Winter's long and it always snows. Billy Wind. When the ice was thin.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, professional crappie angler and publisher of Crappie Now Digital Magazine, Mr. Dan Dannenmuehler.
Good morning, hey, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning. Man, wow, I tell you what, first hour already almost down. Time flies when you're talking fishing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Even when you're on the water, it flies.
You know, that is so true. I can't tell you how many times I've been out there on the water, and you think you've been out there for an hour, you look down at your watch, and it's like 4 hours have already gone by, right?
I know.
It's just,
you say,
yeah.
Where did it go to? We were out here fishing. Just let it stay a while. It won't go away, you know?
I could be out there for hours, hours upon hours. Just
me too.
Love being out there. It is just so peaceful and just... Yeah, especially like you were saying, these days with all the craziness going on in the world, right?
That's right.
All right, just a reminder, phone lines are open. Give us a call, 239-337-ESPN. You can also send us a text, 239-337-3776. You're going to want to stay tuned because in the 9 o'clock segment, we are going to play another round of Name That Species Trivia brought to you by Sportsman's Wholesale. And we're going to be giving away a $50 gift card to Sportsman's Wholesale in Bonita Springs. So you definitely want to stay tuned for that. And we've got Dave coming up at 8, useless information at 9:15. And of course, Dan and I are going to continue to dive into our crappie conversation here this morning. So Dan, I know that you initially started off fishing bass tournaments, and then you made the transition into the crappie world. So I definitely want to get into that with you next. However, we have Captain Jim Fortman standing by on line one, so I'm going to grab his call here real quick. Hey, Captain Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning. We're talking about roadrunners and beetle fins right now? Or?
You know it. Yeah, or well, we're going to be.
Amen.
We haven't gotten there yet, but it's coming. How are things down in 10,000 Islands? What's new, Jim? Give us the report.
Well, it was cold, then it got warm, then it got cold again, and then it got warm.
Yeah, so. And now it's going to get really cold and
yeah,
windy.
It's going to get really cold, and I'm not going back out on the water.
It's a good day to get organized and do some rod building, right?
Yeah, no, I got to restock all my bucktails right now. That's priority. That's about my clients been burning. So.
There you go.
A lot of people have been buying them. This fish been feeding on the bottom. And yeah, with cold weather, you guys know where a deep hole is. There's probably some fish hanging out in there.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, the guys over at 239 Flies are saying, beginning of the week was magical. We started off with jumping 100-pound tarpon. Then it kind of went downhill. And then trout bites started picking up. We had an unbelievable pompano bite in the middle of the week. Saw a lot of beautiful fish, you know, coming in. And hopefully this cold weather will drive the sheephead in. So.
Yeah, especially some of those bigger sheephead. So,
yeah.
Jim, with the pompano, are you seeing them in some of the same areas where you're seeing some of the bigger sea trout? Or
actually, I've been seeing the bigger sea trout in the deeper hole channels and anywhere where there's a deep ledge. Mm-hmm. That is dropping off. We've just been bouncing the bottom, looking at the bottom finder, kind of like you do crappie fishing, mm-hmm. where you're looking at the depth finder and you're looking for stuff hanging out on the bottom. That's where the bigger trout. The smaller ones have been kind of hanging out on the outside flats in the 5-10 foot of water. So that's basically everything's moving to more stable water. The pompano rock where rock meets sand on the outside. That's where they've been hanging, wherever there's good current.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody didn't notice, at the middle of the day, there was no good current. So everybody had a problem this week with the tides when it hit about 12 o'clock. It was just, it was just stagnant water. It was moving, but it wasn't. But the bite was really good, strong bites in the morning. I expect the same. We're going to have a really good warm-up this week. Starting on Tuesday, wind's supposed to lay down. And we're not expecting a cold front until Friday, so it's going to be a really nice week to get out there. I know I'll be out on the flat. The redfish were chewing this week, but everything has slowed down. So, like I tell everybody, slow your presentations down. Don't be afraid to get that chunk of ladyfish or mullet right now. Get a
good
couple
tip.
Of fresh mullet. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of mullet in our area. Those are what those bigger fish have been keying in on.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that.
And what else have you been using, Jim? Primarily shrimp under a popping cork for the trout?
Shrimp under a popping cork's been working. I've had a couple of technical anglers out this week. We've been bouncing bottoms with olive and gold flash on the soft plastic, and brown and gold bucktail's been really queuing in. This crab hatch is phenomenal. Like, we actually caught a crab this week. You don't see that very often, but we got one. And turned around and used to catch a redfish. So that was really cool. Yeah, they're peeing in.
Well, you know why the redfish was hanging out in that area.
Yeah, exactly. I look right at him. I go, get that crab over here. We're going to put him back out on bottom. So, which actually produced a very nice 27-inch redfish.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah, it was a good, it was like one of those good scores. But other than that, why haven't you guys brought up Lake Placid yet? Or the Sebring here? It's like the capital of crappie in this area.
Lake Placid? I mean, we've got Stratford that lies just to the east of us here. But yeah, mm-hmm. Lake Placid, I know Okeechobee's got a decent crappie population. Lake Ixtapoga, there's plenty of lakes in this area that have good crappie fishing.
Don't overlook your smaller lakes either.
Lakes?
Yeah, some of these little, I call them 1-2 acre, 5 acre, 20 acre. That you see around here. I've done seminars in Canada a lot. They didn't even know they had crappie up there in all these places. And the first year I went up there and did seminars, they didn't even know they had them. So all of a sudden these people start going out and all these little lakes, they're all walleye known and all that, start targeting them.
Yeah.
They're catching 2 pounders up there that are old fish. They're old fish because nobody's targeting them. Everybody thought they were trash fish. And some of the best eating fish there are.
There are 2 lakes here in Naples that no one ever targets these fish in.
And,
it used to be able to be a quarry lake and the community right next door to it. They were developing. We actually went out there, there's crappie in there. That's because those quarry lakes are very deep.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking.
Very deep. There's a couple of them that are, 50 foot deep. There's some holes in there.
There you are.
Get up in there. And it is not uncommon to get a 2 pound crappie out of it.
And it's the same concept as being out in California. The black crappie, which are predominant down here.
Right.
The black crappie down here love deep and water like that. They'll suspend under bait fish. And they don't need any structure. They will suspend in great numbers. California is a hidden gem, and this is a hidden gem for a lot of these, what I call pothole lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And some people in the north call them the glacier lakes along the northern region, Minnesota and all through there, where the glaciers carved out. Down here, it's all man-made for the most part, or it was created by watershed or, bulldozing to put up homes. And I found a lot of fish in some of the Harris Chain where they holes out there where they took dirt out or sand or whatever it is and put it for the bases of the houses to build them up so they wouldn't flood. And every one of those, this time of the year, rimmed with fish. They're just on those breaks everywhere.
Yeah, we've got a lot of quarry lakes.
Those will be loaded.
Yeah, yep.
I know Lake Trafford with the stocking program that they had out there should be hitting pretty good right now.
Yes.
They target them. It's an unusual crappie area there. They target them. Big hint for everybody. They're underneath the lily pads. They get up along the banks. They're not really out in the middle. And of course, the primary color for that area is black and chartreuse. Probably one of the best. I use a lot of Roadrunner sticks. I go up in there to get up on those crappie.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, I picked up Roadrunners just before I left to come down here, and black and chartreuse. And I'm going to tell you another one. It's done real well here. Black and gold.
Yeah.
Black and gold.
And crappie anglers, I mean, as most anglers who fish artificials, are very specific. Their colors, which we'll definitely be getting into that.
Yep.
But great report, Jim. Thanks so much for calling in. Thanks so much for
That's
the update.
Yep, you guys, tight lines, and I'll
stay warm
on the water on Tuesday.
Yes, stay warm this coming week.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll be in the shop. I'm burying myself.
Nice to meet you, Jim.
Take care, Jim. Have a great rest of the weekend. Say hi to Kim.
All right.
Okay. All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, we got to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Nobody go out and play. Get drunk and pick a fight. Sin works best in the night. Everybody's missing the sun. Everybody's sleeping through the afternoon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.